Blog Talk Radio.
This is Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Alpha Muhammad II, alongside with my father, Imam Alpha Muhammad I. We are awaiting Imam Ismail Qadar to talk about the part two of our Willie Lynch saga. We did it last Sunday. We were talking about Willie Lynch. And this Sunday, we are talking about Willie Lynch. And, you know, Willie Lynch is basically, you know, talking about slavery and how, you know, it's basically like kind of like a syndrome. I guess you call it a sickness. And it's what black people are, it was what black people were involved in years ago. And it's, it's what black people are involved in today. We, are, as black people today, are still involved with the Willie Lynch syndrome. We are dependent on the government. We're dependent on other people to help us out when we can really do for self. We hear that a lot on this radio show. We hear when Brother Deeb comes on the show, he talks about you know, getting away from being dependent on the government and, you know, doing for self and basically helping yourself out. And when you break that, then that's when people will start to respect you. When you start to have respect for yourself and you start building your own businesses, helping your own self out, and you're not dependent on who's doing this for you and who's doing that for you. When you can do that, then that is when people respect you. And until then, as we see now, we how can we expect others to respect us? How can we expect others to respect us when we out here killing each other and shooting each other up and doing all this other stuff? And so, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Imam Alpha Muhammad. He's going to come on. And, yeah, that concludes my little short Willie Lynch talk. I'll be back on the show later to talk about it, but for now, my father's going to take over.
Thank you, Brother Alfred Muhammad, my son and a helper in the cause. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. I'm going to fill in briefly before I give a major address today on breaking the Willie Lynch syndrome. Willie Lynch was a fictional character. Took place during the period of one of the worst periods in our people's history. Perhaps today is even worse. Unconscious behavior and unconscious thoughts and unconscious feelings is even worse than conscious behavior. So, dear beloved people, we are very, very much interested in breaking the Willie Lynch syndrome. The Willie Lynch syndrome, as I said, is a fictionalized, mythological account of how to make a slave. It's not simple force. It's not simple physical terror. It is a system. And a system consists of mental, physical, and spiritual or invisible forces operating on a human being. No human being is naturally come in the world with fear. No human being comes in the world wanting to be a slave. The person is terrorized from without, and they accept the terror within. I'm ever mindful of the fact we have to understand that it is a complete system. Slavery started by getting people to first be terrorized, humiliated, and to accept thy plight as a willing servant. It was an economic system. It was a political system. It's a sociological system. And it is a heavy psychological system. Now, Willie Lynch, if you all recall the story, again, I'm not here to speak to professional historians. I'm not here to speak to bibliophiles. I'm not here to speak with people who perhaps have some knowledge of slavery. But it's a capsulization of the strategies of dividing us, dividing the light skin from the dark skin, the short from the tall, dividing people around plantations from the over-yoke plantation. We divided even as West Indians versus African Americans, Spanish-speaking slaves versus English-speaking slaves, one who slave master had a big hat. These are the kind of divisions that went on in our head that made the slavery system a complete psychological package. And what Mr. Lynch was telling people is you don't have to tell these people that we're going to kill you. You just want divisive strategies. And you say that's all this hocus pocus. And you wonder why today we have a $2.2 trillion economy. That's the aggregate income of African American people, $2.2 trillion. I think we have about 3 to 4 billion there. Thousands of people are worth over maybe 25, 40, maybe 100,000, worth over 100 million. Very rich, millions of homes that are earning over $200,000 per home. But we have a lot of our people, staggering numbers of that below the poverty line. But what about those who are even above the poverty line? Those who are middle class and rich, have they been able to change the terrible circumstances of our people? No, they haven't. Why haven't they been able to do that? Because of the fact that our rich have been divided against our poor. Our poor have been divided and resented the rich. And many of our people have been divided by color lines, by education lines, and the great strength of our great leaders, Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but to bring the Morehouse and the Norhouse together, the guys with the GED and the PhD, were waiting for Ismael Kadar to come up. Did you reach? Okay. Well, we're going to work. Okay, we're waiting. I was speaking to Alfred Muhammad II. We're just waiting for Ismael Kadar to come on the line. If not, we're going to have some comments for the next 40 minutes by our dear brother and dear friend, Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar. And he will comment while I gather my script, and I'm going to come back at the 4 o'clock hour. And let's see, brother, let me tell you something. Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar on a dime, not on a penny, on a dime is ready to come and aid and go to work. I tell you, if we were on the plantation together, if we were on the plantation today, if we were on the plantation today, he would be one I would look for to help me escape. See, a lot of us, we just don't have it in us. God blesses whom he pleases. And Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar, we're getting ready. Get our walking shoes on. We're going to go on the streets of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and even up in Connecticut, right in our neighborhood, right in the downtown area, and bring the teachings of Imam Wahid Muhammad to the public, first to our public. We're going to walk in the these so-called ghettos in our neighborhood and bring life back to our people. We're going to walk with picket signs, and we're going to read from the Muslim Journal to them. We're going to read from the Genesis to them. We're going to read from Wake Up the Human Life to them. We're going to read from the story of Joseph to them. And we're going to break the Willie Lynch syndrome, and we're going to bring economics back to our people. Brother Imam, are you ready?
Brother, I had to be ready, Brother Imam. Yes, sir.
Well, you sound like one of those slaves that was ready to grab the master and pull him off in the ocean.
Yes, sir.
If you don't free me and let me go, me and you both going into the ocean together. Are you part of that group?
You know what?
I'm ready to join you already. See, if I see a freedom fighter, I'm ready to join. I'm not like some of we jealous because the guy's shot. We jealous because he wore glasses. We jealous because he's this.
Right,
we jealous because
right.
he got a nice suit
right.
on. No, but if I see a freedom fighter, I'm going to join him. So I'm going to turn it over to you for about 45 minutes. I'm coming back at the past.
Okay, brother.
Start at 3:30. So you go from 3:30, my dear brother. You can go on to 4:15. And at 4:15, I'm coming back with my whip. I'm going to have two whips. I'm
going to
have a whip.
I want to hear what you have to say. Because, you know, we know this history about the Willie Lynch history. I have books on it. You have books on it. And that's a hell of a job to do to a people, whether it's fiction or real. It's a hell of a job to do to a people, heart, soul, mind. And I like to always say, with God's name, the mercy, benefactor, mercy, redeemer. I hold them bear witness and testify to the whole world that there is nothing worthy of worship but God and God alone. We'll talk about the one that created the sun, the moon, the star, and everything in between. And we bear witness that Muhammad, 36 years ago, he's the last of the prophets. He's the seal of the prophets, and he's one of the great, great messengers that God has sent to humanity to alert and protect and help the human being to see what Imam Afrin was just talking about, that is actually done to human being. It's done to human being because a lot of times when you see these things happening in movies and things, these people have already made a lot of this stuff happen, and they're planning, if they didn't have made it happen, they planned to make it happen. So I'm interested very much because Imam Afrin, he's a student. He's a hell of a student, too. And he got a keen insight into serious matters that we as a people need to know about and need to see. See, we have been trained also to look at things out of children's eyes. And when we say children, we're not always talking about little children that you see playing in the streets, you know, playing tic-tac-toe, marbles and things like that. Now, that you can be a child and be 60 years old and 50 and 40. You could still be a child. And that's why the Caucasian people continues to, for a long time, they call us children. And in the Bible, certain people call little children. It is because of the level of the understanding in your intellect. Because it is the human intellect that makes progress for the human being. But you also have to have a good heart to go along with the human intellect. A good soul and a good spirit. All of those things go together. And when you have people, men or women, that have studied the psychology, the psychological makeup, the social life, the spiritual life of human beings, and they have knowledge, inside knowledge over people who don't have anything, well, you become like a child to them. They become the adults, and you become the child. So when we read about that story, really, that's what the email was talking about, what I'm waiting for him to get back into. Because he was on a heck of a thing. Because when I read that, that's what the story goes off and said, how Willie Lynch enslaved the people on the West Indian Island. So when he looked at his white brother here in America, and this white man in America, that was John Hawkins. He was the one that was the big figure in introducing the slaves here to North America. To his white brothers and things, and he was brutal. He was real brutal. He was vicious. And this is what we don't seem to understand, that a lot of these things that we see that is taking place in our communities, among even the adult, anytime you can see a grown man, 40 years old, 50 years old, walking around, and you see a child, a kid, 16, 17, 18, you know, walking down the street together. You see the child with his hat turned on backwards. You see that young teenage boy, pants down behind his butt. And here, it might be his father or his older brother or a good friend of his other family. He coming down the street with his hat on backwards. He coming down the street with his pants down behind his butt. Then who is the child? Who is the child? You know, they say actions speak louder than words. So when you see the action, well, you see the teenager, you see the grown adult, their action is the same. But you identify that, you ask them their age. So, well, how old are you, young man? Well, I'm 17, 16. You say, well, that's a kid, that's a youngster. How are you, bro? 45. I'm 50. Then right away, this is a decision come to your mind. Well, he's a child too, because he don't have no more sense than that kid that he's about 20 years older or 30 years older than. He's still on the level, and his thinking and his dressing and his action might, if you really talk to him long enough, the child might be more intellectual, intelligence in that grown person. He has to be somewhat that way, because grown people don't supposed to be acting or present themselves in public like that. So it's a hard job working on people whose mind has been so damaged. And this is why it's important that you listen to me, Ma'am Alfred. You, Ma'am Alfred, somewhat of a psychologist. I work with the brother. I know him, and he knows how to dissect things. And that's what I was very interested in hearing what he had to say, because he was on to something. He was on to something that need to be known among our people, especially our educators, even the doctors of psychology, the psychiatrists, because we have found out that the highest, at one time, still might be, but the highest rate of suicide among the professional was among the psychiatrists, the psychologists. And these are the people that you go to when you have a problem. And another thing that I'm spooked up with, too, we think of just because a person goes see a psychiatrist, there's something wrong with them mentally. It ain't like that always. It don't, because when you go to a psychiatrist, you might have a problem that is not causing your mental position to function like a person that you really, really know that is in need of a psychiatrist. There's psychiatrists that go to psychiatrists with problems, because a psychiatrist, what he asks you to do, he asks you to lay down. There you stand up. He said, lay down. They got little couches for you to lay down on. Why? And there's something like a hypnotizer. They'll tell you to close your eyes and go far as you can back into your memory bank. Go back as far as you can go and remember, and start telling me those things that happened to you. They want to know what kind of environment you come up out of. That's one of the first things they want to know. Well, where you live at? What was you raised there? If you notice, when you go and apply for jobs and things, that's one of the things they ask you. Where were you born at? Where's your home? What town you say you from? What city you say you from? What country you say you from? They want to know these things because they know that the towns and villages and communities that people come up out of have a lot to do with the position and thinking in their mind. So they know if you came out of an environment where there was a heavy dose of a psychological damage done to the communities of those people that lived in that particular locale, then they got somewhat to put them up understanding on your feelings and your understanding about your situations on and the positions and things in your life. So they put you on that couch and tell you to go way back. And they hypnotize you just about, and they can take you all the way back. And some people say they can remember when they was in the womb, like a baby in the womb. Well, some of that might be true. But I believe when they talk about the womb like that, because Nicodemus, he asked Christ Jesus, peace be upon the prophet, said, Jesus, how can I be born again? Because they heard John the Baptist, the forerunner before Jesus, he was telling them that they got to be born again. They got to be baptized. So when Jesus and John the Baptist pointed to one coming after him, because they asked him, then people somewhat were waiting for Jesus to come, a figure like that. So they questioned John the Baptist, and they asked him, said, are you that one, John? John the Baptist, he said, he was honest. That's why they call him Honest John. Honest John. You heard that? You heard the term Honest John? Because when they asked him, he said, no, I'm not the one. There's one coming after me. He said, I come baptizing with water. He said, there's one coming after me that's going to be top, not only baptizing with water, I mean with fire. He's going to be baptizing with blood too, blood and water and fire, something like that. So all of these things, it has to be a main connection so that you can understand what is actually happening to you and your development in the womb of what they call the woman, which is that represents the society. You born from the womb of this of America. We born in America. Other people were born from the wombs of Italy, or Africa, or Asia, or China. That's their mother. They call that their motherland. So they are born from the wombs of those particular environments. And there are certain conditions, certain rules, and certain laws then that form and develop them in their womb. That's why the Bible also says, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be longer upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And we don't know what land we're going to be born in, and we don't know what land we're going to die in. So the psychiatrists who have studied the behavior pattern of the human mind, the human spirit, the heart and soul, and the disposition that those properties that belong to you come up out of. So when we talk about slavery, as Imam Alpha was talking about, he's aware of these things, because if you listen to him talk, you think he got a degree on paper as being a psychiatrist or thing. No, he hasn't dealt with a lot of problems because he don't run away from them. That's the reason why I can appreciate him, because they had a problem, a brother and sister had a problem, I knew it a couple of years ago. He the one that stepped up to the plate to help him, because we were dealing with a sick individual who had a mind like a Willie Lynch, who had a mind like John Hawkins. And they mind is to punish the human being. That's the kind of mind that John Willie Lynch had. That's the kind of mind John Hawkins had. They have no respect for the human being. So Imam Alpha, he had to deal with a person like that, and he asked me to come over there and help him. And I learned a lot. because I'm watching and seeing how he's dealing with this here sick mind that imposes itself on a family or on the community of people and try to ride herd or be the straw boss over the community. People didn't even know him. He was a stranger coming to that community, and he began to disturb the peace on, and the family life of those people that lived in that community. Until God bless Imam Alpha to take up the job to deal with that sick nut. I experienced this here. We got a lot of them kind of people still around. Might have them in your house. Could be the mama, could be the daddy. They got that Willie Lynch problem, or got that John Hawkins problem. They might be that way with their children, with their husband, with their wife, or sisters or brothers. So this is a condition of how people see things in their mind, in their heart, and in their soul that makes them lose their humanity. That's what happens when people become mentally sick. You know, you can lose an arm. You can lose a leg, both arms, both legs. And they don't necessarily go and put you in a mental institution. Matter of fact, you can be strong enough in your mind. You can be the president of this country. Oh, they didn't have the president in a wheelchair. But what kind of mind they have? Their mind was strong and developed. It was about developed in a psychological way that they did not let the loss of an arm or leg or disfigure physically to stop them from thinking human and morally and upright and decent in their heart, their soul, their mind. They still held on to the high principle of life that God intended for the human being to live. So when we look at our condition as a people, we have to look at our condition just like a person that go to a psychiatrist. And we have to put our people down, tell them to lay down, think about, and go back and be born again and with understanding, because you can go back up into the womb. And that's what Imam Muhammad was a specialist at, better than anybody, any leader that come from among us. He went back up into the womb of the African in America, so-called slaves, not no so-called, that was made slaves in America. He went back up into the womb of the minds of those people that went through this brutal, brutal treatment. Treated worse than animals, whose heart was stepped on, whose soul was pierced with fiery lies and deceit and unjust treatment to the human intellect also. So the man went back up into the womb. And he began to explain these things, and we began to come back whole. We began to realize how sick we have been and how much of a doctor we need. And that's why he said he was the Muhammad with the medicine, because he had the medicine. Imam Alpha got that medicine. He got the medicine. And what they did that, and what they discombobulated our mind, our heart, and soul with religion. Religion is what messed us up. They gave us a religion that is so strong and so powerful that we got graduates from the universities, some of the best universities, still calling the white man God. And that's how they messed up our mind, and that's how they enslaved us. Willie Lynch used that principle. John Hawkins used that principle. He said, we got to put enough fear in these little niggas, these blacks, to make them think that we God. And look how strong, look how long it has lasted. We ain't no telling what kind of situation we would have been in if God hadn't blessed us, became Muslim, and many Christians that heard the honorable Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, and those honorable, noble people that was conditioned to believe that the white man was God and he had a son named Jesus Christ, and he became the Godhead after his father. Don't you know that influence, and that psychology is what is holding the African American descendants of slaves back more than anything else. More than anything else, dear beloved people. And we have to fight against these things. And so I appreciate a Imam like Imam Alpha who went to a prestigious college where y'all want to understand or want really want to know. Now he ain't no dumb man now. He can roll with the best of them, and I think he can outdo the best of them. And explaining really what's wrong with the mental makeup of the African American descendants of slaves. I really believe that because I've seen how he have handled this is real real nutcase over there in Newark, over there in Jersey where we had to go and deal with him for mistreating brothers and sisters that was Muslims in our community. We had to go and deal with it. And Alfred handled him like he really handled him. Matter of fact, he got him out and was nobody able to deal with that nutcase. Nobody. That he had been doing it for 20 years. Harassing these people psychologically, morally, mentally, and spiritually. Putting fear in people all kind of ways that he thought he could put fear into our brothers and sisters, until Imam Alpha and myself. I went over there with him, Brother Abdil Shaka. We three went over there every weekend and dealt with him. And then when Imam Alpha got a chance to meet Governor Christie, and took his concern about that man conduct, because he didn't only do it to the black, he did a terrible thing to a young white lady. I mean to a white lady. She had a big problem. I think the lady had a heart attack how he was doing it so bad. So I think it'd be beneficial to call your family around the phone and dial into the number that Alfred had given them to call them and listen to a doctor that has been trained. And God is the one that can train people too. God is the one that can train you and make you what he see fit for you to be, to work in his call and in his plan and in his scheme of things for humanity. Because we need people that is strong enough and bold enough to stand up now, tell the truth about what has happened to us as a people. Don't pull no punches. You know, sometimes I remember when we used to take medicine sometime down south, they put a little sugar in it, and it made the medicine go down much easier. But most of the time, you could just take it straight up. The medicine would be more quickly and affecting the ill that is bothering you. So this is what we need today. We need honest, sincere people to give us the straight-up truth about what have happened to us in our history as people. I'm talking about our people that was brought from Africa and made slaves here in North America and South America. We were not all kings and queens. That's the first line that we have to get away from. All of us were no queens and kings and queens in Africa. If we did, then who was the subject? So these are the kind of things that we don't tolerate when we're trying to deal with a sick patient like our people live. Our people are sick with the idea and belief that God is in the image of a Caucasian white man, especially the elder ones, the older ones. The older ones that was born back in the 40s and things, those have not been touched by the medicine of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's still messed up. Those who wasn't touched by the medicine of Dr. King the right way, still messed up. They powerful doctors. They was powerful doctors on the condition and the concerns of our people. They met together. none of the Dr. King followers don't even know that him and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad sat down together in the living room of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad house and had coffee and dinner together. And they weren't trying to convert one another to each other's religion. Those two men came together as powerful intellect to deal with the problem of their people. And that's what they talked about. They were sitting there talking about, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, well, King, what you think we can do with to get our people out of this situation? Dr. King was share with him, and Honorable Elijah, and he would ask Honorable Elijah, well, what are you thinking, right? You know, and bring up the problem, that the sickness that he's seen, they seen in our people. They seen a sickness in our people that they recognize. So, okay, we got to come from this way. I'm going to come from this way, Elijah, and you come from that way, and maybe we're going to reach enough of them to turn this terrible condition around that this white man done put us in. Now, you may have said Dr. King couldn't come back and tell his followers that he sat with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because they were still sick. They still had some of those minds that Harriet Tubman had to deal with when she was trying to get them free. She had to put that 38 upside some of them head. Some of them lazy men that wanted to eat the crumbs off the slave master's table. And she had to tell them, look here, I tell you one thing, old Henry, now you think you're getting ready to go back and tell that white man on us where our location is, how far we done got away from that slave situation. If you ain't coming with us, well, we're going to kill you right here on the spot because you're not going back and reveal our plan, our strategy, and our secret railroad or underground, how I'm going to get my people to freedom land. She threatened to kill them. You know, we got minds like that. And we ain't going to kill you with no gun, but we got to kill them minds. And we got the bullets to kill old minds, that kind of mind, whether they in men or women or children. We got the weapons to kill that kind of mind. And it's the weapon of truth, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Understanding. Because that's what the scriptures say, get wisdom and knowledge. But most of all, get an understanding. Dr. King and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad worked on our condition as a people up from slavery with an understanding that few leaders have had from among our tree. What tree? The family tree of Africa. So I'm very anxious to hear the continuation of Imam Alfred because I know what kind of mind he's working with. And because me and him and his little son, we rode to Chicago all the way together. And all the way there, we was talking about the condition. Because Imam Alfred had to go out and do the Jumu'ah for the first Sunday. And then it was Patriotism Day. And they had invited him to be the guest speaker for the Patriotism Day. Patriotism Day now. Because it's hard to get some of these here Afros and churches, the die-hearted mind and die-hearted Christians see that we are patriots of America. Amen. I'm told them we're the best patriots. We're the new patriots of this country. Can't nobody get this country out of this madness of racism, unjust treatment to a person because they are a particular color. No, can't nobody do that. So we have to understand. Imam Muhammad, let me read something what Imam Muhammad said right quick out of the story of Joseph. He said, you have to shock these people. Who is what people talking about? Our people. Not only our people, too. White folks, too, need this little medicine. The brown man, the red man, y'all mean, all of these people need this little medicine. Because the shaitan is the one that's standing at the head of doing all of this damage to the human soul, heart, mind, and spirit. That's what his job is. That's what he made his job. He made that job. He chose to do that job because he wasn't chose to be the leader, as the story goes. I'm not going into all that because that's not my talk. I'm trying to get you ready for Imam Alfred because I know he's gonna finish and take us all the way home where we got to go for the day. But I want to share with you This is what the Imam said. The Imam said, you have to shock these people out of this insanity. Y'all hear me? Out of this insanity. Because I believe in my heart, never will African Americans be equal to whites or Asians or anybody until they get that image of a white man being God out of their minds. All right? That's what the email said. What wisdom did we get out of this? Above every possessor, y'all listen, of knowledge, is the all-knowing, the one who possesses all knowledge. And we recognize that to be the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. The creator. The creator. And that's why, you know, when I was coming up, we used to be in the school and we used to sing, he got the whole world in his hand. He got the lying, cheating man. All kind of mixed up people. He had God got them in, all of them in his hand. And God is the one to choose who he's going to best with the understanding to deal with sick human beings. Whether you're a white sick human being, a black sick human being, a brown or red or yellow sick human being, there's medicine for you. But you have to take the medicine. And you can't worry about what color the doctor is that's giving you that medicine. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? So this is a great day and time that we're living in, brothers and sisters, because we have the solution. We have the solution to the insane condition that our people love to linger in. Because a lot, they'll tell you, well, brother, it's all in your mind. And that might be true, and it is true, but it's all in your soul, and it's all in your heart, too. Because that's why Christ Jesus, peace be upon the prophet, said, as a person thinking, man or woman thinking in their heart, so are they. And he also said in the mind, but they don't put the focus on the mind. But Muhammad the prophet, peace be upon him, who came after Jesus Christ, he heard what our father Abraham said and what the medicine that God gave our father Abraham to give to his children, because we belong to the Abrahamic faith, the heavenly religion, the Jew, the Christian, the Muslim. We belong to the heavenly religion, and we are the children of Adam and Abraham. And we have had a mad doctor to work on the children of Abraham, and it's called the Shaitan, the devil. He had did a hell of a job on the hearts of all the children of Adam, and us hating one another, disliking mama, disliking daddy, disliking sister and brother, and y'all in the same family. We're human beings, and we belong to the human family. We're not supposed to be fighting each other. The white ain't supposed to be fighting the black and the white fighting the brown and the yellow, brown and yellow, it's red to fight the black and the white. It ain't supposed to be like that. God said for us to fight the enemy of all of us, and that's the Shaitan. And all of us have to join together and get this devil and hearts and our minds and our soul and playing God over us, whether he try to be a white God or black God or brown God or red God or yellow God. Man ain't God. God is the one that created the white man, the black man, the brown man, the red man, the yellow man. One God, one humanity, one human family. One human family, one humanity, one God, one creator. So I think Imam Alpha might be about ready. You about ready, Brother Imam? Brother Imam?
Why don't you go another 10 minutes, Brother Imam?
Okay,
yes,
Brother
sir.
Imam.
Go by another 10 minutes. You're on a roll, man. And I really appreciate it. Love you. And we need some of that medicine. We need some of that medicine from North Carolina where they built one of the largest insurance companies in the world. We're going to get some
Brother
of that,
Imam.
Then I'm going to come back and give them a little bit of this.
Yeah.
I'm lynching them.
Okay,
I'm from
I know you're in the doctor's office whipping up some medicine, brother. I'm whipping up the medicine, brother.
I'm still in the lab. I'm working a prescription. All right. Thank you, buddy, ma'am.
Yes, sir. for this little few minutes. You know, I'm from North Carolina. North Carolina Mutual Bank is right. I can walk to the from my house in about anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. I could walk to it. It's in Durham, North Carolina. That's the big black bank that we had we dealt with when I was coming up in the South down in North Carolina. It's in North Carolina, North Carolina Mutual. You know, we had progressive black people that was in all of these little towns in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, you know, because we came into a certain knowledge in the Nation of Islam that most of our people that did not experience that, there's something that God bless to be healed in the heart, the soul, and the mind, and the spirit of the movement in the religion that God says is for all people. First of all, we have to recognize that there's a creator over all of this world. Man didn't make the man is the one that messed up the world. When we look at the natural creation, that is what we that's some of the medicine that would help heal you when you realize that God ain't no white man, no black man, no brown man, no red man, no yellow man. Now you begin to take medicine to heal you. See, even though both the Christians and the Muslims, black Muslims and the black Christians that belong to the family tree of Africa, you know, we were put in a double cross. But those people were denied to be able to read and write based off the circumstances that caused slavery, that denied them that right to educate their intellect, to grow their spirit in the right way, to grow their mind in the right way, to elevate their soul and cultivate their soul in the right way. God protects his people. When I say his people, God, we all is God's property, people. Please listen. We belong to God. We are his property. We are his property. Even though you have children that come from your lawn, brother and sisters from your womb physically, they come through you. But who made the process for that to happen? You didn't, because you came through that process too. So you have to realize, privilege you want, and that's what the white man did to us. He did cut out all of that memory. He tried to. But there's something that God put into us, and can't no human being touch it. Touch it. Because God said he protect that, and that is your dynamic soul, your soul. Your soul records your history, and this is something that you can never, because it don't belong to you. You can't destroy God's creation. The man think he have destroyed God's creation and can improve on God's creation better than the one that created the creation. And not realizing that he's part of the creation, that the one created it. He created you too. You're part of his creation. You his human creation. And you're the highest of his creation, because he gave you something that he didn't give the rest of his creation. And what is that? A human intellect. Define him. Define him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But our experience in slavery, made us and conditioned us to be taken out of that mold, or tried to be taken out of the mold. They tried to take us out of the mold and destroy the mold. And what is mold is that? That is the what we call our fitra, our natural life that God put into us to find, to grow, to develop, and come into the knowledge of who created that soul, that heart, that mind, and that brain. And man has the power to create too. Yeah, God says in our holy book, man, he gave man that power to create. But he also warned that man, no matter how much or how great a creation that you think you can bring about, don't forget, you couldn't bring nothing about if I did not create this original world that you're living in. I created that world. I created the sun to help grow your food, to help grow you, and to help make you well when you get sick. I put the moon up there. I put the stars up there so you can see at night when there was no street lights, no street cars with headlights and things. You had to use a fire. And when the rain and things come, just all your light was gone. But God always had a way for you to get out of it because he's the best of creators. He's the best of creators. That's what man forgot. And God told him, don't forget that I am the best of creators. Even though I allow you, man, I allow you, woman, to be great creators in the human world that I put you in. But don't forget that I created the world and I created you too. And don't think your creation is bigger than the heavens and the earth that I created. The man forgot that somewhere down the line. And God always has to send good men and women back to remind old fool that you're not God. And sister, you ain't no goddess. God is the one that created you, your husband, and you, husband, your wife and children. There's a creator over y'all. And you have to respect that one with the highest respect. Because if it wasn't for him, it wouldn't be no husband. It wouldn't be no wife. It wouldn't be no sisters and no brothers, no aunts and no uncles. Give God the praise that the Christians say, and give God the glory. And we say, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah. We saying the same thing. We saying the same thing. Because if we started out, we who didn't know anything about Allah. For 26 years of my life, I wasn't knowing who knew Allah was. I was a Christian. I was trying to be a good Christian, but I know that I have said hallelujah, hallelujah. And the biggest word in hallelujah is Allah. Y'all check it out, my Christian brother. Write down that word. Go read it. Find the word hallelujah and see what is the biggest word on the inside of that word. And you see it's Allah. Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Lord and creator of the heaven and the earth and everything in between. You know, we were put in a condition. And I remember I was listening to, I was looking at a program, and I heard Jerry Butler sing that song, "Sometime I Feel Like a Motherless Child." You know, those are words that was being spoken in the church when I was coming up because of our condition. Because we know that we had good mothers, but the big mother made us seem like we were motherless. And that's the country that we was born in. Made us feel like that we were motherless and we were fatherless because they wasn't the real creator of our physical, moral, and mental makeup. God did that. And they the one that damaged our moral, our spiritual and mental makeup and made us feel like it was hopeless. That we weren't created for nothing but to serve them, as the scripture said, to cut wood and be water barriers for the ones that they choose as their children that look more like them. That's why that little black woman named Julia during the time of slavery told that white man, you might look like God in the faith, but you're the devil in your heart. Why? Because they put pictures up there. Before they let us go, they did a job on our heart, soul, and mind. To take and empty us out, put into us the idea that in the way that we should see the creator of the heavens and earth, but they couldn't destroy those strong ones. They couldn't destroy that because they say, hey, I'm going to hate it in my heart, and you can't see what's in my heart. I'm going to hate it in my heart, but if I had a chance, and I show you with my hands how I feel about it, and I'm going to show you with my mouth. Because that's what the position Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, and all of them took. They know they couldn't defeat that nightmare physically, but they still had enough of that germ in them, that enough of that spirit in them as a Muslim. Because God created all the children of Adam, Muslim. And that spirit of the Muslim from their ancestors, that's what kept them going. And the white man couldn't see that growing in them. He thought he was killing it through slavery. But they knew, some of them knew, because they were Muslim. Most of them people they brought over and put in slavery were Muslim. And they know that a Muslim deal with a serious problem three ways. If you can't change it with your hands, they say, change it with your tongue. And if you can't change it with your hand and your tongue, hate it in your heart. We have went through all of those three developments because we was in a position that we couldn't change it with our hands. We never was in that position, really, to change it with our hands. And you can change it with your hand if you got the understanding how to do it. And we spoke out against it. Frederick Douglass was an example of that. He hated it in his heart. He was born a slave. He was born a slave. But God changed the circumstances for him and gave him a good slave master. Then he put in the situation of a bad slave master. And that was to show the appreciation that and show that that was good. That's God made all human beings good. There's good people and bad people in all races. Frederick Douglass, them, their experience, that because some of them had good slaves. Some of them started out with bad slaves and wound up with good slaves. Some of them started out with good slave masters, I mean. Started out with good slave master and wound up with bad slave master. And started out with bad slave master and then wound up with good slave. Frederick Douglass was one like that because his first slave master was and his wife treated him very kindly. Matter of fact, it was the slave mistress that helped him, the slave wife, the slave master wife that helped him learn how to read and write. But something was still stirring deep in that soul, y'all, because God is control of that soul. God is all the time. And he began to use his thinking power, too. So one day, he actually changed his condition with his hands. Y'all hear me? With his hands. Because he laid a right cross on that wicked slave master. When he was a young boy, the man kept beating on him. Frederick Douglass was out in the road one day. He got tired of it. He said, and his heart was calling out to him, you got to become a free man in the city. Frederick Douglass laid that right cross on him. Not only, Imam Muhammad said, not only did he knock him down, he knocked him out. Laid him out and went on to freedom land. And what did he become? He began to become the tongue for his people. He began to speak out against the brutal condition that the slave master was meeting out on his people. And he told them, Frederick Douglass got in a position, he told them out of his mouth what was on his heart. He said, you profess to be Christians. You profess to be Christian. You say you're Christ-like. But the way you treat me and my people was shame, a nation of savages. He became a consultant to one of the greatest presidents, the one that they set us free, Abraham Lincoln. Frederick Douglass became a consultant to Abraham Lincoln. Now, do y'all, how many of y'all know that the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, became the consultant to two presidents of this country, President George Bush Jr., and President Bill Clinton. Imam Muhammad was invited by President Bill Clinton to come down. He was the first Muslim in where they make the rules and the laws at in Washington, D.C. Y'all hear me? So this is the one that Imam Afro is connected to. This is the one Mubashir Akhtar is connected to. We came through that particular environment that changed our thinking, our heart, our spirit, and our soul, because Imam Muhammad is the one that connected us back to the proper perception of God. And he said, if you have the wrong perception of God, you have the wrong perception of everything else in your life. So we was in a spirit in America where we felt like we would call ourselves a motherless children, a motherless child. And I want to share right quick, because I'm waiting for the Imam to give me the signal, but I hope I finish this right quick, called Motherless. Imam Muhammad said, one of the great tragedies of the African-American experience has been the inability of the race to reestablish a stable family life since being physically free from slavery. He said part of that tragedy has been the failure of the race to understand the importance of the woman. Y'all hear that? of the woman and her role in establishing their family life. Imam Muhammad said, in our religion, God gives us the understanding that the woman's role is one in partnership with the man. God also tells us that they are our mothers. Now, these concepts and the concerns for them are fundamental. Imam said, we cannot abandon these dear and precious essentials from our life without suffering catastrophic kinds of problems. On the other hand, if we don't abandon those essentials, we can make progress in dealing with other problems. But first, we must deal with the basic primary needs and the life of the human being in society. In this connection, God wants us to remember that the woman is our mother. The African-American community has a great burden on it because slavery separated the mother from her greatest occupation of being a mother in the true sense. And since slavery, we have not been in a situation to reestablish her back in that great noble position. We had some grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and great-great-grandmothers who did a good job in their spirit of excellence. They had the spirit to carry out the mother responsibility to their children and to their society. But generally, we underestimated it. Imam said, we are right when we do not act like our mother or grandparents did when it comes to disciplining our children. When it came to disciplining her children, my mother was from the old tradition. She would love you with a stick and love you with an apple pie. She would love you with chicken and dressing on Sunday, love you with your favorite biscuit or your favorite cake or your favorite piece of meat. She would say, Mama cooked this for you. I know you like this, but she would also love you with a stick. And she would then say, Mama got this for you. Imam said, if you talk to some of these modern social workers, they might tell you that my mother was crazy, cruel, brutal, and a child abuser. They might ask, oh, did she really whip you like that? Did she leave scars on you? Yes, she did, says the Imam. Then they might ask, did she brutalize you? No, she didn't. Y'all hear that? It makes you wonder where these social workers was trained. Some of them cannot understand the changed circumstances in the days in today's circumstances. It would be important to take a stick. It would be improper to take a stick and beat kids like that because they are not responsible for their behavior. I'm going to read that again. Imam Muhammad said it would be improper to take a stick and beat kids like that because they were not responsible for their behavior. It is an extremely altered environment that is causing most of the malfunctioning of our children. Y'all hear that, mothers? Environment, the Imam said, that is causing most of the malfunctioning in our children. We cannot take up a stick to correct this. Social workers today should study the past, the old situation, before they start judging our mothers and trying to make us believe that they was cruel. My mother wasn't cruel. She had a right to do that to me. I knew better. And there was nothing forcing me to behave that way but my own free choices. For children today, it is not only a person's free choices, but the overwhelming super image of the environment saying, oh, you're wrong to behave like your mother. She is backwards and unpopular. Imam Muhammad said this is a greatly changed situation since I was a child. Therefore, man needs the strength and power that only God can give him. Y'all hear that? He needs the strength to challenge the very environment itself, no matter what dimension it has, whether it is the size of New York, America, or the size of China. Man has to meet the task. And that's why I appreciate you, Brother Imam Alfred. You steps up to meet the task as a father, and I try to do the same thing. And we
Thank
have
you.
Wives that is working, Brother Imam. We have wives. You ready, Brother Imam? I hear you.
Yes,
I must have got something cooked up. You ready to
yes,
roll?
Yes, sir. I'm going to give it a medicine and go as long as I can go. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I, bro, Brother man, we appreciate you, man. Brother man, I know that. I know you're a fighter. I've seen you. I've seen you fight when you're well. I've seen you fight when you were sick. You never give up, brother man. That's why I had to step up to the plate when you asked me to help you, brother. You're a soldier, brother man. We need mans
like you,
man. We need mans like you for a long time to be around here so you can distribute that powerful medicine that God bless you to come in through, brother man. You've been in the kitchen cooking it up. I'm going to step out the way so you can give our people the medicine that they need. I'm going to present now Imam Alpha Muhammad, who is the host of Religious Meaning Alive. Thank you very kindly, brother man. God bless you, man.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. I'm just honored that our brother and friend, he's not a pinch hitter. I know he played baseball, so pinch hitters, they just come in when you're in a crunch. But brother,
I was a starter on football, basketball, and baseball.
And he brought us home. He, you know, the Satan might be throwing the balls out. We have a lot of Satan's imps on these radio broadcasts. They are just throwing out all kinds of curved balls, knockout balls, and frankly, they have knocked out most of our people. In fact, our community right now, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, is suffering from a flood of foolishness, a flood actually of too much knowledge, and we're not working on any of it, very, very little. I'm going to address you today from the subject recovering from the effects of Willie Lynch syndrome. You know, I think the best thing for us ever to do to help our people with any problem is to go to sacred scripture. Let me go to my book, then I will go to the book that I used to follow, the Quran, the Bible. The Quran says, seek ye with what means God has made available to you, the promised life. But don't forget your share of the material world. The Bible said, Jesus said, I'm going to be about my Father's business. Jesus the Christ told his people that you must be born again. He said, except you come as a little child. And Nicodemus said, nevertheless, I cannot go back into my mother's womb. And Jesus reiterated to him three times, you must be born again. He told him again, you must be born again. You must be born again. Isn't that the same thing that God told the prophet? Read. And finally, when the prophet said he couldn't read, God told him, read in his name. He didn't say to read in the name of God. The prophet had lost faith in all the religious people's concepts. Don't think that the Jews of his time didn't have religion. Don't think that the Christians didn't have religion. But God told him, read in the name of your Lord. And that connotated to the prophet Muhammad's mind that this was an owner who was taking him from one stage to the other to its perfection. I want you to keep that in mind. Then we're going to come back to something else the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let's repeat it again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, money, good home, friendship in all walks of life, social life, luxury, peace of mind, contentment, while we live, again, sacred scripture, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. This is what the law and gospel is all about, rough translation. The Quran, have you seen him who giveth a lie to his prayers? Get the need of the orphan, get the need of the widows, and just sing, making prayer. I hope you now understand religion means a lot. I hope you understand by now that I'm working to perform certain. I want you just to relax close your eyes and go into your imagination of your mind and let Dr. Muhammad, who is also a patient, work on you. It's going to be a real, I don't know how easy it's going to be, but I'm operating on you. I'm not like some of the leaders get up and tell you that they are healed. I'm not. I'm taking the medication myself. You know, I heard a preacher one time in the church, and I love him for this. He was a member of the AME Zion Church. He said, this is a hospital. Everybody in here is a patient, including the preacher. That's a preacher I can love. If more of our imams were to take that posture. I was telling a sister in Brooklyn who started a social service agency. I said, sister, most of our imams are not willing to accept that they are the most mentally deranged of all. If they were, we would have a booming school system. We would have a booming businesses. We'd have a pool room where our children could come and congregate with each other. They would have basketball leagues and football leagues. And our children would not be a part of Satan's scheme. God said, fight the schemes of Satan, for they are weak. But if we don't understand that Grand Theft Auto, if we don't understand that Mr. 50 Cent, if we don't understand that Rick Ross, that Nicki Minaj, that Chief Keef, and all other similar situated actors went back on a set, that's a movie set, they're acting, this is an act that Satan has wound them up to create in you and your mind and your body and your spirit. We're still talking about Willie Lynch. Willie Lynch is a mindset of how to maintain and preserve a slave system. Now, I don't think I've forgotten that we are all over Pettus Bridge and we're celebrating. And I told you, I warned you that I had three whips. Actually, I have three whips. I got a whip for you. I got a whip for the slave master and any of his children that might want to come out. But I also got a whip for the Muslims who follow Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. Imam Muhammad said that my father was around to kick ass. That's what he said. Well, I'm not his father, but I do have a lot of the spirit of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I just read what Muslim posted on Facebook a few minutes ago. He said, for all you Obama lovers, African-American employment rates is still 11, probably, he was underestimating, 20 to 30%. Now, he blames the president of the United States. He's a Muslim following Imam Muhammad, who followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. What do you look like? Being a man from following the man who was a father, modern-day father of self-help. Because Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the first one to pick up the self-help banner. Gregory Hayes in Lynchburg, Virginia, picked it up in 1867, 1870. He was against Caucasians coming to our neighborhood. This man in 1870 had argued against African Americans receiving help from Caucasians. Now, what do you look like, a Muslim from our community? And I'm convinced that about 20% of the African American Muslims, 20% of African American people are Muslim. It's about 8 million people. Why are you somewhere sitting begging the white man to do for you that which you can get up and do for yourself? $2.2 trillion. That's our income. A burgeoning middle class. Two or three billionaires. Listen. As Brother Imam Mubashir would say, y'all listen. Y'all heard that? 2 billionaires. Probably at least 1,000 multi, probably close to 1 million rich African Americans. Rich African Americans. And yet our employment rates are high. Now, if you all support Religion Means Alive, we're going to go into these neighborhoods where we are and make it safe for people to open up businesses and fire African Americans up to the same spirit that Booker D. Washington, that Asa Spaulding had. Now, who is Asa Spaulding? Asa Spaulding was the founder of the North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company that, when I was growing up, had $500 million. An asset. I understand the company's still going. So don't tell me that African Americans can't help themselves. I just read a book, read a review of a book, and some of you may be pissed off about it, but that's okay. We're going to be brothers. We ain't going to get mad. We can disagree. And we should be engaging in these dialectical discourses. On page 12 of the New York Times book review, there's a review of a book by the great scholar Orlando Patterson, who has written probably one of the most foremost books on African-American slavery called Rituals of Blood. And I disagree vehemently with Orlando Patterson's solution. His analysis is profound in understanding the Willie Lynch syndrome. And I know some of you say, he ain't right about the Willie Lynch. He's a scholar. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Willie Lynch is a myth put together by a great African-American thinker, I don't know, anonymous, who wrote What a Slave Master Would Do. Or What a Slave Master Did. An African-American, what they call conservative, has written a book that I'm going to get, and I'd like to get him on our program, Please Stop Helping Us. The name of the book, Please Stop Helping Us, How Liberals Make It Hard for Blacks to Succeed. The second book is Shame, How America's Past Sins Have Polarized Our Country. One of the few things conservatives and liberals agree on about the 60s, that it was a decade of radical change in the nation's politics, ethno-racial and gender relations, popular culture, and international policy. The liberals, the decade marked the greatest transition towards a new era of personal, social, economic, and political liberation and inclusion, especially for blacks, initiated by the courts, the Civil and Voting Rights Acts, and the Great Society program. To most conservatives, the period, with few exceptions, was a terrible turn for the worse. Well, I'm not going to go into any of these screens. But I do agree with Mr. Jason L. Riley, with some nuance, that the main thing African Americans need to do is to be left the hell alone. I repeat, to be left alone. Stop sending your spies into our neighborhoods. Stop sending your agents into your neighborhoods. Actually, we should have an orderly transition for allowing out the police our own neighborhood. Huh? They should be, our neighborhoods should be very much like the American Indian Reservation. American Indian Reservation. Now, we're in much better shape than American Indians. I know you don't believe it. If I had me 100,000 Mubashirs, believe you me, that's all we need. Imam Mubashir and we had 100,000 of them, believe you me, for every 400 of us, we will see a new people in 5 years. You will see businesses. Now, a few people might get whipped. A few people might get their head bashed in if they're trying to steal something from somebody. First, we would say, brother, we're going to refer you to a job training program, and we're going to give you some aid, and we're going to reindustrialize, and we're going to put you on a crew, and we're going to help you to clean the neighborhoods up. Second time you do this, we're going to take a whip, a physical whip, and whip you. And we won't have no jails. See, the Honorable Muhammad didn't need jails. He reformed our people. He didn't play with our people. And you acted other than yourself. That's what we call. Because what did we say? What ourselves? Who is your own self? Your own self is a what? A righteous Muslim. Have you ever heard of any other than righteous? I beg your pardon, sir. I've never heard of any other than righteous. Now, so when you walked in the temple door, you knew you had to throw your cigarettes away, your liquor away, your lottery tickets away, your guns away, and you had to be a brother. That's all our people need. They are partial victims. They are victims. 80% of our people, they've got the victimhood. We've had the worst treatment known to man. Don't tell a patient that is suffering that he didn't have pain. You can never cure an alcoholic by not acknowledging the pain of the alcoholic. You can never cure a dope fiend without acknowledging the pain of the dope fiend. You just can't do that. The first thing you got to do is acknowledge the problem that the person has. We've had 400 years of the most horrific treatment known to man. And I don't care whether you're Oprah Winfrey, I don't care whether you're Michael Jordan, I don't care whether you're Bob Johnson, we still have the scars psychically. And in our families, we got somebody in our families in jail. We got somebody in our family that's suffering. We got somebody in our family that's disfigured. We got somebody in our family who escaped through the cracks. We got somebody in our family that's suffering from mass depression. So we can't say we are healed. So we have been victims. So I partially agree with Shelby Steele. But what I'm saying to our people differently than Steele, Patterson and others, as we take what has happened to us, so dear people, I'm saying to our people that the first thing that has happened to us is that we have been seen as property. Therefore, as thinking of ourselves as properties and thinking that we are deformed, that's why we tear up our neighbors. This is a subconscious reason why we go down the street, a guy with a degree and a three-piece suit on and Stacey Adams shoes. And I've seen educated African-Americans throw trash on the streets in our neighborhood. And I've seen that same African-American in Millburn and South Orange that wouldn't do that. Why is it that? Because he said this ain't nothing but a nigger neighborhood. That's what his subconscious said. And he will engage in niggericity right in his own neighborhood and go in the mall and pick up trash. You tell me these subconscious forces are not there? But Brother Steele, I'm telling you, these are the sins of the fathers. I don't expect Caucasians to solve the problem. But I understand what these brothers are saying. I understand what Professor Steele is saying. I understand what Jason Riley is saying. Yes, the solution to African-American problem is, in fact, its own solution. The solution will not come from anybody. It will not come from Muslims from overseas. It will not come from immigrant Muslims. It will not come from liberal Caucasians. It will not come from conservative Caucasians. It will come from African Americans. And it mostly will come from African Americans in the community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, who accepted full responsibility for our lives. That's what will happen. And they will address our people as you would address any psychiatric problem. You would address that you have been deformed and that you have to be reformed by rebirth, by returning to your nature, your fitra, the nature in which God has created you. And God has created you as an intelligent, productive, refined, organized being. If you heard in that lecture, you heard in my words, you heard the four rivers. And until our leaders address cause and effect, until our leaders address the mind, the spirit, the will of our people, they will never allow people to be made whole. Our people cannot be made whole by us ignoring thy sanctity. Our people cannot be healed by telling our people. We're talking on business. We're talking on the second Sunday on developing economy. But we will never develop an economy until we develop a mindset, a spirit set, a will set that allow us to be reborn, refashioned out of slavery, refashioned out of the psyche of a slave, and be psyche into what God said to us, that you are a free man in the city, a free woman in the city, a free person in the city. And until we have that new world patriotism-based spirit, that we are new world patriots, we're not necessarily aligned with George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. We have a new understanding of Adams. We understand that Adam did a boo-boo. We understand that Jefferson made a boo-boo. He did the same thing that Mr. Farrar said his father did. Mr. Farrar was God, right? But he said his father was making a boy. So, oops, I missed. So the founding fathers, oops, they missed. They had a lot of futuristic concepts, but they were far, far off the course. They couldn't have possibly been on the course. Because even themselves, they had a confused idea of the material world. They believed that the material world was somehow evil. They believed that the material world, that only the materialists should have it, and the priests should have it. So they themselves didn't even have an idea. They didn't have a concept of what the life of human beings would be. They thought that we should be the slaves and they should be the rulers. You can't build no society like that. You can't build a society where you got one people believing that they're subhuman and the other one believing that they're human. So America was born, as Condoleezza Rice said, with a birth defect. That's why we all need to focus our attention on New World Patriotism Day. We need to focus our attention on a new convention to reconvene another America, to reconvene America that brings into America the new spirit of a new humanity, a new will of the people that won't allow a people to have people getting $9 an hour in the economy, while others are making $90,000 in the economy. No, we don't want that. We don't want us to replace the slave master with another slave master. We want an economy that operates for freedom, justice, and equality. We need a medicine for our people. A medicine for our people. See, the problem with most of our people right now in Imam Muhammad's community is that they have a flood of knowledge. That the leaders, that even the sincere emerging leaders, are unaware of the problems of our people. They don't understand our people's problem is not religion. We're the most religious people on the face of the planet Earth. We're the most spiritual people on the face of the planet Earth. We're the most serious and most universal people on the face of the planet Earth. We believe in God more than anybody on the planet Earth. We believe in humanity more than anybody on the planet Earth. We believe in our Islam more than anybody on the planet Earth. But one thing we don't believe in, we don't believe in ourselves. We don't believe that God should work, that we're worthy of God's blessing and God's mercy. We don't believe that God has chosen us above every people on the earth to take on his responsibility. That's our problem. And number two, our problem is we don't trust each other. Dear beloved people, this is the only way that we're going to get to the promised land. It's for us to understand the nature of our problem. Again, our problem is not that we are un-Islamic. We're very Islamic. We're the only people on the face of the planet Earth that really have a concept of Muslim before I'm an African American, Muslim before I'm an Asian, Muslim before I'm anything else. That's drilled in our heads from the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But if you believe, if you think that we believe that we are worthy and it's our job to establish the kingdom on earth, you're sadly mistaken. We don't believe that. How do you know we don't believe that? Because we wouldn't allow these nickel and dime leaders calling themselves Imam in the community, Imam Muhammad, divide us, and we won't even show up to the mosque cares convention. I'm talking to you Muslims. I'm talking to you who say you are with Imam Muhammad, who have a solution, and you won't force yourself to come and put your dimes, your nickels and pennies, and come to Chicago and say, I'm going to convene with others who love my leader, and I'm going to come up with solutions for the problem of Muslim African Americans and for African Americans in general. You couldn't believe it. You couldn't be a people that have that spirit, that mind, that will of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad if you were not going to force yourself to run and convene with others and build an educational system from pre-K where you're training your babies to be billionaires and business people. Where you're training your high school students and elementary school systems to go into the Quran and bring about inventions and technology and new manufacturing strategies to reindustrialize America. You can't be a person following Imam W.D. Muhammad hiding in some corner. You can't be a follower of Imam W.D. Muhammad and you're afraid and you're terrorized by fear to step out when the first leader, the second leader, told you to get up and do something for yourself. Huh? We should have hundreds of thousands, millions of businesses. We should have businesses that are on the billion, and they don't have to be some multi-level marketing that some white person set up. I refuse to participate in multi-level marketing unless we are doing the multi-level marketing. That's an easy way out. It's not the way where we should stand up strongly committed and determined to put our dimes, our nickels and pennies together and produce for ourselves and sell for ourselves and feed ourselves and clothe ourselves and shelter ourselves. Stop making this some magical that you got to have an MBA, that you got to study 10 years, that you got to read every paper that came out in order to get up and open up a store. I saw a man with a pair of twisted shoes. A man could barely speak English, built four houses in my neighborhood, and became a millionaire. And guess who he sold them to? African Americans. I know a man can barely speak English, has a prosperous grocery store around the corner. I know another man can barely speak English, but he's selling us chicken. Huh? Stop saying it's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of confidence. It's a psychological destruction and havoc and turmoil that has come on our soul. I see some questions on the board, and I don't usually take questions on the time, but I'm going to do it today. I'm going to take questions, and I'm going to make comments, but I hope you will confine your comments to what we are talking about. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? Caller, you're on the air. Five, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you have a question or comment, feel free. Going, going, going. We have somebody from 718. You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, my name is Muhammad Mubarak, and I'm from Fort Valley, Georgia. The New Africa Halal Farm. And I just want to add to often I do listen to this, and I listen to Bashir Akhtar most of the time during the lifetime. Lifeline as well, and that's a main concern, message of concern that I think is most important is remembering the teachings of the Amilad Muhammad. That he do so well with. I mentioned it while he was on, and you were only following up, that he still stay connected with his own and our mission to do for self. And we need to get motivational speakers and get strong, good people. I was in total agreement with it. You said most of it. I just want to let you know that now that needs to be pushed, emphasized more in terms of recruiting or fishing like y'all used to do back in the first experience, getting youth and getting some energy and getting people to be inspired to work. You don't have enough.
That's right. That's right. Just like you're doing down there with the New Africa Halal Farm. We support you.
Well, we do need donations, not necessarily donations. We need investors and we need supporters. We don't want to have.
Well, you know what, brother? Call me. You got my number. Let me give you my number, 908-463-4843. And you can come on the air and make your appeal. Anybody got anything to offer this community, just contact me, Ma'am Alfred, 908-463-4843. Or you can also email me at imamalfred@gmail.com. I'm very interested in reaching out to developing up, just like we had the fish force, we can have our live meat force delivering meat from Georgia right to people's doors. We're going to turn this problem around.
Yeah, that's the idea. We need people that want to invest and support by purchasing our products. We cannot get up off the floor if we don't get the support from our media community first and foremost. And the problem has been a lot of people do a lot of good cook-off, but they're not really coming together.
That's right.
I want to thank you for holding that topic, brother. And again,
Thank you, my dear brother. Let me tell you something. I love you, and you're standing my post for me, and I'm going to stand yours. I'm going to stand yours for you, and we're going to all work together to lift up the arm of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Wahdi Muhammad and put them in the proper place in the minds of our people. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Wa alaikum salam.
Anybody else want to ask a question or make a comment, you can just press 1 on the phone or dial 805-727-7013. Let me just say here, the halal business is what God has given us. We're not going to give it away to anybody. We're not going to have to get nobody else's stamp of approval. We're going to do it independently. Listen again. We're going to do halal independently. We've been farming since we came to America. You mean we can't kill a cow, we can't kill a sheep, we can't kill a chicken and take it to the market? I know we can, and we will, and God is with us to do that. So let us work together and build the halal markets up. Let's build up our economy. So if anybody else would like to make a comment, at 805-727-7013. Or you can, yes, you can dial us, 805-727-7013. Or if you're already on the line, you want to make a comment on building the economy, please don't hesitate to contact us right now. We're going to have New Africa Day tomorrow. And we're going to stay on this case until the cows come home. Now, you know what the cows come home mean. Cows represent the material order. And when we establish a material order in our community where we can feed, clothe, and shelter ourselves, we then will have the cows come home. I thank you. May God's peace be on you and his mercy be with you. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Religion Means Alive.